Well, I didn't really strictly stick to the book as far as I'm not just going to regurgitate the book to you, but there are some principles in the book that I'm going to try to follow. Like, he kind of divides up each section of meditation, memorization, and application. He divides them up into the blessings. You know, why should we do this? What's the benefit? How does this profit us? And then he talks about, okay, here's some practical methods about how to get started doing this. And so I basically just wanted to kind of lump all three of those things, meditation, memorization, and application, sort of together and talk about the benefits, like why we should do this, why this is important for us as disciples. And then at the end, talk about, okay, here's some practical nuts and bolts kind of ways of doing it. And to do that, you guys have outlines, but I've broken down the benefits of studying the word, like intaking the word through meditation, through memorization, and applying it in the seven categories that our life is affected by the word of God. And first one is wisdom, faith, and guidance. So just knowing, like, what is our purpose? What are we here for? What does God want me to do with my life? We get that from the Word of God. The second point with this would be the Word of God speaking to our relationship to God, and our relationship to one another. Third point will be on how the Word of God helps us with repentance and sanctification. The fourth point will be how the Word of God helps us through prayer. Fifth point, how the Word of God helps us to deal with sin, our battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the sixth point is how God's Word trains us to be theologically mature and spiritually discerning. And finally, the seventh point of the benefits and blessings of the Word is how the Word helps us with evangelism and also equipping the saints, just building one another up. And then after that, I'm going to talk about the practical methods, some of the things that Donald Whitney gives us in the book here, just methods of how to memorize and meditate, different things he recommends, and just some practical stuff. So for any of y'all who don't know who I am, my name's John McLawhorn. I've been a member here for about 8 years. I got saved when I was 20 years old, so I've been walking with the Lord for about 21 years now. It's been awesome. I didn't grow up in the church. I came to Christ as just a wretch and not knowing anything about God, just being completely ignorant about the things of God. And just came to God desperate, and I bring that up because it was the Word of God that got me out of that. It was the Word of God that showed me what Christ has done for me, gave me an understanding of the gospel, and it gave me vision for my life, direction. It helped me with all these categories that I just listed, you know, wisdom, prayer, sanctification, battles with sin, growing in godliness, and also just sharing the good news with others and building up saints. So it's my joy to share the gleanings that I have put together here over the last couple of weeks or so. I got a lot of scripture. I hope y'all don't mind hearing the word this morning, but hopefully we can get through it. I'll try not to spend too much time on each one. You could probably preach a sermon on just about most of these scriptures. I'm going to try not to dwell on them too much, but I feel like when we're talking about the things of God, we need to go to the Word of God, and I really want to just point out what God's Word says to us about the importance of having the Word within us. You know, Christ is the Word made flesh, right? So not that we are the Word made flesh, but we've got to get the Word in us. And so let's just dive in here. I'm going to pray real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this morning, for these saints that you brought together. I do pray that you would help me, use me as a vessel, Lord, to communicate your truth to them. And encourage each one here today, just the blessings and benefits of your word to us. We thank you, Lord. We are so blessed to have the Bible. We're so blessed to have the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth. God, guide us, help us. Lord, use my stammering tongue this morning and just help me to make sense of these thoughts and ideas I've put together. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so benefits and blessings. Paul asks in Romans, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. He says, what advantage has the Jew? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. So that's what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with the oracles of God. We're dealing with the Word of God and the advantages that we have with the Word of God. So, I'm just going to open this up here with a verse from Psalm 19. And this is under the section of how God's Word helps us to have wisdom, to have faith, guidance in life, and the blessings and favor, the joy that comes through a deeper understanding and obedience to the Word. So the first verse, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. So this one verse here is just completely packed with the virtues and blessings that we can get out of God's word. Just making wise the simple, the warnings of Scripture, and the rewards and blessings in keeping God's word. So the second verse here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So Joshua here, is the leader of Israel, is commanded to meditate on the word of God day and night. And God promised to bless him and to make his way prosperous in doing that. And the same promise applies to us, that as we meditate on God's word and as we walk in it and obey it, God will bless us. He will make our way prosperous. Okay, the next verse, Psalm 119, 24, 99, and 100. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the age, for I keep your precepts. So here's a man who's meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God is his counselor, and he has understanding. He even has understanding, more understanding than his elders. Just because he is in the Word of God. Proverbs 8, 32 and 36. Here's wisdom personified in the Word. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. So here's wisdom just pleading with people, like, come on, come to me, listen to me, watch it daily at my gates. It's the Word of God is just pleading for us to come. So, next verse, John 20, 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So when we read God's word. It is the foundation for our salvation. It is what we stand on. I mean, when someone asks you, you know, how are you saved? Well, you turn to the word of God and you point to Christ. You point to what is written in the word. And that leads to salvation. Okay, Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So here's the word of God, just transforming our minds so that we can discern the will of God. And finally, joy and blessing come through dwelling in the word. And Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all He does, He prospers. So here's a guy who's meditating on the law, he's applying the law, he's applying the Word of God, and he's blessed. All right, so we're going to move on to the next section here. Another benefit or advantage that we have through the Word of God is how the Word of God speaks to our relationships, both with God and with one another. And kind of what I was thinking about here is just how we're commanded to love one another, but what is love? How is love defined? Love must also have the truth mixed with it, like, so in order to truly know what love is, because the world has a lot of ideas about what love is, but God's word defines for us what love is, and it defines for us how to fellowship and how to relate to God, how to come to God. In John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 21, Jesus says, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So here's a promise that in keeping God's word, we have an opportunity to have a deeper relationship with God. I mean, Christ is saying, I'm going to manifest myself to you. Not only that, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you and call to your remembrance the things that I've spoken to you. One of the things I like to pray when I'm reading God's word is, God, you know, just help me to understand this and bring it to my memory when I need it. Bring this back up whenever I need a word in season. You know, just having that thought. It's the Holy Spirit that uses the word like a tool to teach you and to remind you of the things of God. Next verse here, John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So there's a proper way to approach God. God is holy, and God is different. I mean, he's spirit. He doesn't have a body. He's not an idol. We don't make images of God. We need to come to God in the way that the Bible teaches us to come to him. And so we learn that through God's word, through the truth. 2 John 1:1-5. And this is just about God. I mean, John the Apostle is looking at the church and he's seeing people who are living together in community. They're loving one another. They're walking in the truth. Like, they're listening to the word of God. They're conforming their lives to God's ways, and he's just so happy. He says, The elder to the lady, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we are commanded by the Father. So this is just an encouraging word to the church, just to keep on walking in the truth, just to let the Word of God be your guide in your relationships with one another. And next, here again, just love and truth joined together. You know, the Word says, speak the truth in love. Corinthians 13 says, love rejoices with the truth. In Ephesians 1:18 through 19, here's another verse for the church. Just understanding who we are, why we're here, what's our purpose together, like what God has done for us. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. So we need to understand this stuff. I mean, we need to see ourselves as more than just a collection of people gathered together singing songs and hearing a nice sermon. We, you know, God is doing an awesome thing in the church. And when we really dig into the Word of God and we have that Word in us, it becomes alive, and it just becomes something really awesome. And this is Paul's prayer here in Ephesians. He's just praying that these folks would understand this. Next verse. Okay, this is getting back to Christ, like our relationship with Christ and how the Word of God points us to Jesus. Like, if we want to know Jesus more, let's look in the Word. This is a rebuke, but it's a good point here from John 5. You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Now, I don't think anybody is refusing to come to Christ here, but I think the point is that the Scriptures are bearing witness about him. So let's, you know, hey, we're coming to Christ and we want to see him in the Word. And in Luke 24, and this is the after the resurrection, the disciples are walking like from Jerusalem to Emmaus, I believe it was, and Christ met him on the road, and they didn't recognize him, but it says, once he started talking to them, it says, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures? So Christ is using the Old Testament to reveal himself to these poor bedraggled disciples. And as he began to reveal himself, their hearts started to burn. They started to feel hope. They started to feel life. Like, hey, I mean, we need that. As we read God's Word, our hearts become set on fire. I mean, Jeremiah talks about the Word of God is like fire. It's like, I said I wasn't going to say nothing, but it was like a fire within me. I couldn't keep it to myself. You know, so get the Word in you. It points us to Jesus. All right, H is my notes here. I've got two things. I've got my notes and I've got your notes, and I'm trying to follow along together. So the next one, Colossians. All right, so relationally, we're seated with Christ. Our identity is in Christ, and we're with him. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So, since relationally we are sitting with Christ, we need to learn to have our thoughts and our minds and our hearts and our priorities on the things that are above. So we learn that from the Word of God. And also, along with our relationship with Christ, learning to hear and discern the voice of the Master, the voice of the Shepherd. We can learn to discern his voice in our daily walk with him by reading God's Word. And when we read the Word, we can discern the spoken Word to our hearts. John says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So reading the Word of God helps us to discern God's voice And it also helps us to discern the stranger's voice, or to recognize that, hey, this is not God. This is something foreign, and I'm not going to go there. So it keeps us from deception. All right, moving on along here. So we've talked about how God's word helps us, gives us wisdom, faith, and guidance. We talked about how it helps us with our relationships. The next part here is just allowing the word of God to search you. God uses his word to search our hearts, to reveal our thoughts, to reveal our motivations, to reveal sin. He brings correction with the word. And I really like the word in Hebrews. It says, you know, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So we just need to learn to just have a humble heart when we come to the word of God. And it's not always easy. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. And so it's his work to reveal this stuff to us, to convict us of our sins. And the word of God is one of the means God uses to do that. So John 17, Christ says in his prayer, his high priestly prayer, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So God's word is both the standard for holiness and a means for our sanctification. The next verse here is from James, and James is talking about the word of God is like a mirror. And this is directed to people who are reading or hearing the word and not doing anything, not acting on it. But he says, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like a man looking at his face in a mirror, and then he goes off and forgets, you know, what manner of man he looks like. But the word of God is a mirror. It reveals who we are. It reveals the truth of our sin and need of grace, but it also reveals our identity in Christ. It gives us hope. Next, Hebrews 4, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So here's the word of God is a living and active agent, searching our thoughts, discerning, laying us out, and just revealing to us what's going on inside of us. And we need to give an account to God for that. So when you're reading God's word and you run across something that's just obvious that, hey, here's an area I'm struggling in, just bring that to God and allow God's word to transform you. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then Psalm 51. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. So this is just God's word probing into our hearts and also leading us into truth, leading us into life. God wants us to have truth within us. And there's the truth of being, you know, there's the truth of God's word, and there's the truth of us not being hypocrites, being faithful, being sincere, like really wanting to conform to God's word, not being duplicitous, saying one thing and doing another, but really being true to the Lord. Last two verses are just more of God's searching. Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. And Christ says in Revelation, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and will give to each of you according to your works. I mean, God is not out to squash us like bugs. He's not out to just make us feel guilty and and tear us down. But he does bring godly sorrow that leads to life. He does that through the word. And the conviction of the Lord is it's a sweet conviction. It's not condemnation. I mean, yeah, we deserve condemnation, but you know, when he corrects us, just like we heard preached on spiritual on correction, what is it? Discipline. Thank you. Yes, it's God is treating us as sons, as children. He loves us, and we just have to see this. This is a loving God. It's his rescue mission. The word of God convicts us of sin, but it's for our good. And meditating on that, thinking about that, applying that will help us to grow in Christ-likeness. And that's our goal, is to be like Jesus. Okay, next, prayer. So as we study God's word, as we meditate on it, as we memorize it, as we get it in us, we're able to come to God and we're able to pray according to God's will with confidence. The more we know about God's word. Now, that doesn't mean you can just grab every promise out of the Bible and just, you know, claim it as this applies. But it does help us to discern. You know, when we grow in our maturity and understanding of God's word, it helps us to understand what God's will is for our lives. We understand God's principles, God's priorities in our life. And that's how we pray. And we need to learn to pray. In Luke, this is when the disciples came to Christ, and he was praying, and they came to him, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. We need to learn, and so the Lord's Prayer is one example of prayers. There's tons of prayers in the Bible. This is a great model for learning how to pray. Jesus lays it out. These are the priorities, you know. Worship, start off, you know, just our Father in heaven, and he goes on down the list of things that we need to be praying for. Also, just when we pray, we need the Holy Spirit's help. We not only need to be taught like models of prayer and how to pray, but we need the Holy Spirit's guidance in that. And when we learn, when we get the Word of God in us, when we understand the principles taught to us in God's word, then we can be more discerning of how the Holy Spirit is using that, how he's speaking to us when we come to God. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is not going to lead us off in some wild prayer for something that's that's just completely selfish and or vain or useless. He's gonna lead us in the prayer according to the will of God. The more we study God's word, the more we will be able to have confidence that hey, this seems good to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to pray along these lines. So along with confidence, there's a couple of verses here. One's from 1 John, one's from John. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So this is confidence because we're praying according to the will of God. And Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. It's a great benefit of having the Word of God in you. I can't tell you how often my prayer life is shaped by scriptures that just come to my mind when I'm praying. And I'm just so thankful for that. It's just, it keeps prayer fresh. It keeps me humble because I realize that, hey, this is God's word. God is using this in me. And, you know, it's not just my ideas and my thoughts, but this is coming from God's word. This is the heart of God. Okay, the next one is just an exhortation. When we read scripture, we see it all through scripture, just the call to prayer. Psalms are full of it. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And then we learn to grab onto the promises in prayer for those who pray. Philippians, for the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here's a promise that as we come to God with our burdens, he's going to give us peace. He's going to give us rest. He's going to handle it. He's the sovereign God of the universe, and he's our Lord, and we can leave it in his hands. And just there's lots of promises in the scripture and promises concerning prayer that just they comfort us. They give us hope. They give us peace, and we know that we can take our concerns to the Lord. Finally, here on the prayer, there's all kinds of prayers. And the Bible exhorts us to pray for all kinds of different things, praying for our leaders, praying for the church, praying for the persecuted. But Ephesians 6 says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So as you read through God's Word and you come across instances where you're either commanded to pray or you see someone interceding or praying in a certain way, just make a note of that. Just keep that in mind, that as intercessors, we join Christ in prayer for the church, for the world. And you'll never exhaust the categories of prayer in Scripture. All right, next, moving on here, our battle against sin. How the Word of God equips us to deal with the world and the flesh and the devil. So one of the main things we have to deal with in our battle against our enemy, the devil, is lies. And, you know, we all sin. We know that. And Satan wants to lie to us. He wants to keep us in condemnation, feeling guilty and feeling like, you know, God doesn't love us, or we're going to hell, or whatever the lies of Satan are. It could just be not that we feel condemned, but that we are puffed up, that we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, that we have believed something about ourselves that isn't true, or something about God that isn't true. Whatever Satan's lies are, and there are many. Paul talks about we're not ignorant of the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil. But if he can get us to believe a lie, he can keep us in bondage. So we have to learn the truth of who we are in Christ and what he's done for us. Jesus says in John 8, he said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So that's how we deal with lies. That's how we deal with the nagging thoughts that condemn us or deceive us or lead us astray. We deal with them through the Word of God. Ephesians 6 is the chapter where Paul is dealing with spiritual warfare and the armor of God. And he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it's our offensive weapon when dealing with sin, with dealing with spiritual attacks. Paul talks about fighting against the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I mean, there really is a battle going on for our lives, for the lives of our children, and for the world, for the lost. And a lot of times, the battle is a battle for the mind, and we are to defend righteousness and truth, and we do that through the Word of God. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." So It's the Word of God. It helps us to recognize truth and falsehood. It helps us to deal with all the arguments that people raise against the truth. And this world is deceived. Ephesians, Paul says that, you know, basically the world is under the power of the evil one. I mean, just they're lost. They're in darkness. And we have to be able to recognize that and to guard ourselves, and also to help people who are caught in lies. And when doing that, this verse is not in the notes here, but Paul says to avoid quarreling with people who oppose us and who are caught in lies of Satan. In 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26, Paul talks about, you know, just being gentle, being able to teach, not arguing, not getting into fights with people over things, but, you know, just being able to gently lead people who are caught in deception. Next here on the list, we're dealing with, like, the flesh and spirit. You know, they're at war with one another. You got the old man and the new man. And Jesus is talking to people. He's talking about the bread and the wine, the blood and the body. And they're getting confused. And he's saying this: it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So God's word, we need to recognize God's word is spiritual in nature. In the natural mind is no avail. To understand the things of God, we need the mind of Christ, which we have. We have, when we come to God, we're given the Holy Spirit, we're given the mind of Christ, so we can understand the things of God. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, for those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to interpret the things of God, to submit to God's law, to God's word. So you can memorize all the scripture you want and think about it, but really, I mean, there's guys in seminaries who can quote the Bible back and forth to you, but they don't have God's spirit and they don't understand. They're just missing something. We need to be humble and recognize that we need God to reveal truth to us. We need the Spirit. Let's see. Matthew 4, and this is Jesus dealing with Satan, and it's also a good principle for life that comes from the Old Testament. In the wilderness there, where God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So life is more than just the needs of our body. We need the Word of God. We need to read our Bibles faithfully and have the Word within us. Matthew 16, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So we need to get beyond mere human reasoning. Peter was just thinking like, I guess he was just thinking like man. He's just human reasoning. No, Lord, we're not going to let this happen to you. It's just like when they came to get him and he pulls his sword out and he goes hacking ears off. And Jesus is like, no, don't you understand? Don't you get it? I can call down angels, but this is my Father's will. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to understand the things of God, set our minds on things of God. And finally here, just God's promise in the Word that Christ protects us, that he keeps us from the enemy. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God, that's Christ, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. So praise God. Christ is faithful. He gives us the victory. All right, we're going to move on. I think I've got about 15 minutes here. And I'm going to try not to take too much time with these scriptures, but because I want to get to the rest of it. But I was kind of thinking when putting this together that it's like exercise. it's everybody knows how to do a push-up. Everybody knows how to do a sit-up. Everybody knows how to run around the block a couple of times. I mean, we know how to exercise, but the problem is we don't want to do it, right? We just, or we forget the benefits. But when we're reminded that, hey, when you eat right, when you exercise, you feel better, life is better, you know, when you do this. So as far as the methods go, I mean, memorizing, meditating, it's not complicated. But I felt like if I put more emphasis on why we need to do this, what is the benefit? It would help to motivate us. This is why we do it. This is important. And so if I go too heavy on the blessing part or the benefit part, that's my motivation. But hopefully we'll have some time here to get to the rest of this. Anyway, theological maturity and spiritual discernment. We're called to be fellow workers with Christ. And in Timothy, Paul is exhorting him as a worker to rightly handle the word of truth. So we need time in the word so that we can rightly handle it. There's a lot of people out there who are taking God's word out of context and are confusing their hearers. They're confusing themselves. We need to be able to rightly handle it. And that takes time and growth. Speaking of time and growth, in Hebrews 5, this is the writer. He's saying that, you know, I want to feed you meat. I want to give you some deeper stuff to think on here, but you're not ready. You still need milk, which is fine for a young believer. Peter says, you know, crave the milk, cry out for it. But as we grow in our Christian life, we don't want to just stay in the milk. We want to really be able to understand God's word. And it says, one who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's still a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So we just need faithfulness over time in God's word so that we can move on to the deeper things. And here again, here's that in Luke. When Jesus, this is the parable, this is like the key to all parables, the parable of the sower. It's the word of God. And afterwards, he's revealing the parable to his disciples, and he tells them that it has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And he's talking about the good soil is those who, hearing the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And then he says, take care then how you hear. Like, be careful about how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And to the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. So as we store up God's word within us, as we keep it, as we obey it, it is a tool to help us to unlock more secrets of the kingdom. And God can give more to us. But we have to grow in that. There's a promise and a blessing with that. And not only that, but, I mean, let's just remember, like, how blessed we are. Jesus says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So we are privileged to have the Bible in its entirety. And let's just take advantage of that blessing. And also in Peter, it says, concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So let's follow the examples of the prophets and the angels, and let's search the scriptures. Let's see what Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? What are you revealing to us? Let's really search it out. This is a high calling. Biblical maturity and growing and understanding God's word, it's a high calling. We're exploring the hidden mysteries of the God of the universe. Proverbs 25 says, it's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search them out. And in Romans, Paul just cries out, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. We can just dive deep in God's word, meditate on it. It's so awesome. I like the word manifold here in Ephesians, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. I mean, it's God's word is powerful, and it's amazing. It's glorious, and it's our privilege to manifest this to the world. It's the church's privilege to make God's glory known to the world. And that leads us to the next and final section here on benefits and advantages of having God's word within us, and that is readiness for evangelism and equipping the saints. And it comes through the indwelling word of God. God's word is sufficient for all life. We can find all that we need to do the work of God in the word. Here from Timothy, it says, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that we can be complete, equipped for every good work. I mean, that's just covering a lot there. Just God's word is sufficient for us as we're training young people, as we're training one another, and just ourselves, just knowing how to do what God has called us to do. And to do this, we are also called to be ready. Paul's telling Timothy to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So just having that. I remember one time when I became a Christian, one of my grandmothers, bless her heart, she's just a godly woman who just loves God's word. And she told me, she's like, you need to get the word in you and read it and learn it, because there might be a day when you're not going to have it available and you're going to need it. And just, you know, prepare for that day. And I think she was thinking of end times kind of stuff, like, you know, persecution and just government taking Bibles, whatever she was thinking. But I remember thinking, yeah, that's true. I need to get the word in me. And that was encouraging. But we need to be ready. Store it up. Peter says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Know what you believe. We need to know the Bible inside out so that we can be able to share it clearly with others. And also, Christ talks about having the good treasure of the word in your heart. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So having that word stored up is going to be a help to us in our day-to-day conversation, in sharing the gospel, or just building up one another. And also just the readiness, Paul writes in Ephesians, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, just being ready to share the gospel, the message of peace through Christ. And here in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. So we can sing the word of God. We can speak it to one another, building each other up. And finally, Christ, the Great Commission here, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. So here's another promise. Christ is with us as we carry his word to the nations. So I've got like 8 minutes here to deal with the final part of how do you get started with memorization, meditation, and application. The book has some good examples there. There's some good questions for serious study, sitting down and just asking hard questions about the text. But first off, the main thing, I mean, you gotta start somewhere. So you have to make a selection, whether it's from your daily Bible reading, sermons you hear on Sundays, or constantly quoting scriptures. If something stands out to you, find the verse to focus on. And pray and cultivate a sensitivity to the Spirit's prompting. in choosing a verse. Remember, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Look for passages that jump out or grab your attention. I really like, just apart from just reading the scripture, there's a good book called Daily Light. It's just a daily devotion. It's nothing but scriptures along a common theme. It's really good. It's great for learning the word and just getting a broad sort of smattering of scriptures. One practical thing to do is to write out the verses. I've noticed that when I'm in church, if I've got a pen and a paper, I just get a lot more revelation from God to write. But if I'm just sitting there, I might get a little trickle. But so just having a pen in your hand to write stuff out, ready to make notes, is helpful with learning the Word of God. Just writing it out. Now, Whitney recommends rewriting the verses in your own words. I don't do that very much, but I could see how that might be helpful. It is good to think about, you know, like I don't necessarily recommend the Amplified Bible, but just to think like, what is this word? How is this word used in different contexts? What are different words that mean the same thing in Scripture? Break down the verse word by word, looking at each part of the word. I mean, the Scripture is multifaceted. Also here, something I found recently to help, like here's the kids, they learn Bible verses every month, and I help with the first through third grade, and I have four kids in children's ministry, but there's an app you can download to your phone. I think they have it for Apple and Android, but it's called Remember Me, and it's great. It's just a cool tool. You can put your verse on there. You can play little games with it, fill in the blanks, pick the right word in a row, or they hide some words. I mean, there's different tools you can use on your computer, on your phone, to help you memorize. I remember as a young Christian, I used to use note cards a lot. I would just write out verses and just remember, you know, memorize the verse. I mean, just like studying for a test in school, just writing down the verses. Ask probing questions of the text. Like, what are the main ideas? What are the principles and themes in a passage? Can you think of illustrations or examples, your own personal experiences that might be similar? Whitney talks about using Philippians 4:8, the whatsoever, you know, what if true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. I mean, the list can just go on with meditating on God's word. There's always something good in there to dig out, unpack. He also mentions a guy named Joseph Hall. Have a list here of questions from his Art of Divine Meditation. Just digging in to just understanding the scripture and its context and its purpose. You can read through that there. Don't spend too much time on that. And also, as we're doing this, we need to have an expectation that God is going to be with us when we come to Him and His Word. I'm not going to go through all these verses here. If you want, you can do that in your time. But just have faith. Like Christ says, don't be afraid, little flock. It's the Father's joy to give you the kingdom. And God is waiting to be gracious to us. He's longing for us to come to Him and to come to Him with the Word. Just ask for wisdom. James says, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. It's simple. Just come to God. I mean, always come to God in prayer. When you're reading God's word, I love to just open it up with prayer. God, show me something. Reveal this to me. Give me understanding. And just have an expectation that God is going to answer that prayer. Pray. I like this verse down here. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So we need to come to God in prayer, waiting on God, learning to wait, to hear God's voice when we're reading the Word. And also here, comparing Scripture with Scripture. It's good to use a cross-reference Bible. It's a great way of comparing. Like, the Bible is a big tapestry of ideas and letters and stories, and there's so much cross-referencing going on there, it's just mind-boggling. So a good cross-reference Bible is a good tool. Also, a concordance. I know there's so many versions of the Bible, sometimes concordances are limited. I like Strong's, I think it's King James, but that can be a good tool to use. Got a couple verses here just about the Bereans, just how they examined the scriptures. They heard the message, they went to the word. What does the word say? Just they were looking, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So compare scripture with scripture. Isaiah says, to the teaching and to the testimony. I mean, he's like, what? And he was dealing with false prophets. What does the word say? Get back to the word. You're talking about, you're saying this is a word from the Lord, but does it jive with what we have in the Bible? And the Bible, it's challenging. It can be hard to understand. It seems like it might be contradicting itself at times. And there's a lot of debate out there on certain issues. But the Bible, the scripture does not contradict itself. Scripture builds upon itself. We just need the wisdom to be able to discern. To discern passages and ideas and theology. And we get that by having like a whole comprehensive view of the Bible. So compare scripture with scripture. And finally, just act on what you learn. I mean, I think this just goes without saying. Be doers of the word, as James said, and not just hearers. And Christ says, he makes the analogy of the man who builds his house on a rock. That, you know, when we build our house on the rock, when we hear the word of God, when we hear Christ's word and we do them, it's like building on a sure foundation. We can stand on the word of God. All right, so step out on the authority of God's word. The Bible says the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. And that's about all I've got, and I think I've used up all our time. I appreciate your patience in listening to this, but hope it's been a blessing. Thanks for coming out.